Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Brought to you by Zada Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston.
They want to be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the Kings of Houston Sports Radio, John and Lance.
Well, it is Lance and Dell. I am back. John is on vacation. I am back. Little voice problem. If you heard me on Wednesday, you saw that coming, and it really went downhill quick on me, but voice is not at 100%, but we'll get you through for the next 3 hours because we had a lot to get to. We have a new NBA champ. We have discussions of history and legacy and dynasties. I want to weigh in on the Rockets trade of Christian Wood. I did not get a chance to do that yesterday. We've got talk about the World Cup. It was official yesterday. The city of Houston is one of the cities that will get 2026 World Cup matches. I couldn't be more excited about that. And one of Dell's favorite players, Minka Fitzpatrick, thoughts and prayers, just shout out to Minka. He left the Dolphins so that he could blossom and become the player that he would become and make millions and millions and millions of dollars with another team. And Dell happens to be in the studio with me today. Dell, first of all, before we get started, your thoughts on maybe starting the show at the pre-show hug right now. Maybe as the show, before the show kicks off, maybe me and you just hug.
Why would we hug?
Just because I hadn't seen you for a while. It's been like a week and a half,
two weeks. That's a real long time. Your partner tried to get me on the Minka stuff yesterday. I don't care that Minka Fitzpatrick got paid. I didn't dislike Minka when he was a Dolphin. I mean, it's not like he's won anything on the field. I know he's been a really good player in Pittsburgh.
Here comes the anger.
But we have a cheaper player in Javon Holland who is just as good. I'm good.
Okay.
And we don't have to pay him for years.
Okay.
I'm good.
Keep that same energy when Javon Holland goes to the Steelers.
I'm just happy that Minka gets to play for his buddy, Brian Flores, the guy he ran away from. Now Brian Flores is on that staff.
That is interesting. The staff yesterday for the Golden State Warriors, they win a title. They win it was a series that was actually a pretty even series. The difference in the series when you really look at it is it just gets down to poise. That's really all it is. The Golden State Warriors win yesterday and take the NBA title in six games. They win 103-90. They win in Boston, close out in Boston. That's good. You don't want to see the Warriors close out in front of their fans, so that was a positive. And as you mentioned, Dell, for as much as a lot of people don't want the Warriors to win because, you know, the Rockets ties, the feelings that Rockets fans have toward the Warriors, you made another equally salient point this morning.
Yeah, the point is Boston is insufferable. Like, if somehow you got duped into liking that whiny bunch of floppers that are the Celtics themselves, just think, did you want anyone from Boston have any sports happiness today? Like, even the hope that they could go win a game seven, did you want that? Did you want another championship for that wretched place?
The city of the Celtics, the city of the Red Sox, the city of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and the Patriots. Did you really want them to have happiness?
Yeah, today you can run to a particular podcast that has said bad things about Rockets players and go listen to that podcast and listen to his misery. Did you want him to do a podcast after a Game 6 victory thinking the Celtics were going to win a title? Just think, we have a Boston person who does a show here. In fact, he does a show after this one, along with Vanessa.
Yeah, Paul Gallant.
Paul Gallant. I'm sure Paul's a fine person. I don't know him that well. He's a fine guy, but I think I caught him wearing, I was walking out, he was walking in, I wasn't like looking at his wardrobe, but he thought he was wearing like some Patriot colored shirt. And I'm, did you really want Paul to have any sports happiness today?
I mean, no.
You don't want, like, I'm not wishing ill on
no,
Paul.
No, but I don't want any, like I said, unless I've got a little something going on the game or the series. But no, the in general, you know, Boston fans, for a long time, their whole sports take was around the misery of being a Sox fan. Like, that was their identity. Same way it was Cub fans' identity. Their identity for the Red Sox for a long time was, oh, man, we're the Sox, the curse of the babe and all this stuff. And then they win, World Series. Then Tom Brady starts to just murder with it. And then they just became obnoxious sports fan. So, yeah. In that regard, and look, do I like Golden State? Newcomer fan who can't tell you what the Warriors look like before Steph, Clay, and Draymond actually had a winning season? No. I'm not happy with those. Like, no, you can't like those fans.
Yeah.
You can't like San Francisco / Golden State fans. No, you can't like them either. So it was a lose-lose in that regard, but it's also a win-win in the sense that, okay, Golden State didn't close out on their home court, so they can't celebrate at home. Okay. That's a little thing, but it's something. And Boston fan doesn't get to be happy. That's a thing.
Think of the misery that they're suffering, because I believe they've only lost one other time on their home floor, like a elimination game in the finals on their home floor. I think the Lakers might have done it in the 80s. Think about the fact that all the people in Boston media, the people infiltrating all the sports radio and TV that you watch and listen to and the podcast that you listen to, those people can't sing the praises of the Celtics today. They either have to shove their emotions down and talk about it objectively, or frankly, if they're on a Boston podcast, be miserable as hell. Take that enjoyment.
Well, I can tell you this, based on the game. So let's get into the game for a second. That was a game that Boston opened up quickly. It was a big second quarter by the Celtics. Really, they closed out the first and then into the second. They had a run of three-pointers. I want to say it was three straight, where everyone in the game was hitting. And at the end of the day, it was just a case of Steph Curry. Every time Boston tried to make a run back, the game got to, did it ever get beyond 50? Yeah, it got to 20, right?
The Warriors are up after like two consecutive Steph threes, I think, were up by 22, and then Boston called a timeout.
And then Boston got it back, and they were, you know, they cut it to 15, and they cut it to 10 at the end of the fourth quarter. Then they cut it to 9 inside the fourth quarter. But every time they wanted to try to take it lower and tighten the game up a little bit, it actually went lower to 9, if I remember correctly.
I think it got to Didn't 9, it? And then eventually it got up to 12 and then 10. I don't think it ever dropped below 10.
Not once it got that high, yeah. So Steph Curry just kept making shots. And I'm talking about not threes. He just kept penetrating. There were some bad defensive matchups where Horford at one point and Van Gundy in possession could not believe that they switched that off. He didn't think they needed to switch it off from Smart to, you know, especially against Steph Curry, from Smart over to Horford. But Steph Curry would get to the basket and get layups. So he's a really talented finisher as well. And, you know, when you look at this, and there's a few things to get to, but when you look at ultimately for Steph Curry, I think one of the things, I was making this point the other day. Right now, if you're trying to find, there are people who look for things right now to try to keep Steph Curry out of the mainstream discussion about best players, you know, the best players ever. And I get it. I mean, the arguments are usually, well, he's not a true point guard. Okay. Well, he doesn't play defense. Okay. But people try to find these. I mean, Magic was not a good defender. Magic was a true point guard. He just happened to be a big point guard at 6'9". I just think at this point, there's just a dislike for Steph. Culturally, there's a dislike for him. If it's your teams, like for Rocket fans hate Steph Curry. Okay,
understood.
I mean, I get that. I just think some of the reasons are some of the arguments from a sports standpoint, taking away your personal stuff, it's hard to keep making arguments against Steph Curry being one of the all-time best players, whatever number you want to put him at, based on what he's done for his career. Yes, I know he's not a great defender, but Steph Curry is a winner. Steph Curry won as a young player. He won his two people punish him for winning with Kevin Durant, which, you know, I guess that's what you punish him for. They punish him because he won 73 games in a regular season, which is an all-time record, and didn't win a title. And then I don't know what you can say about this one. Like, Klay Thompson is a shell of who he used to be. I shouldn't say a shell, but Klay Thompson's not the same guy he used to be. Like, Klay can't get open by himself. Klay's really a spot-up shooter at this point. He does not have the same explosiveness. You do have Jordan Poole, who was the number two guy yesterday. It was Steph and Poole, and those are the creators. Draymond is an older player. He's still an effective player. But when you look at the, like Jeff Van Gundy said yesterday, this is clearly the least impressive roster that Klay has had, the least, and that he had some offensive deficiencies on this roster, and rather Steph, you know, carried that team. And it's just really, I just think when it's all said and done, after this series especially, finals MVP, he's got two MVPs under his belt for the season, a finals MVP. It's really getting hard for me personally to make arguments against Steph Curry. He's got ring arguments. He's got MVP arguments. He's got 73 wins in a season. He has come back from early ankle trouble to be a little bit more durable. I think, you know, he's always going to, there's going to be some games that he's missed. He's the greatest shooter in history. I don't think anyone could even argue it. He can score in a variety of ways. I understand his deficiencies defensively, but he wins. And he went from subjugating his game when Kevin Durant went in, which I would also point out, I think is not easy for top players to do. He subjugated his game to the point that people thought he had just fallen off. And then this year, last year to an extent, but especially this year, it was a reminder, hey, I just want to remind everybody that I still can do the same things that I did in the past.
Yeah, we'll get to the Warriors' pettiness because they didn't forget the slander throughout the season and before the season. Just think about this in context. Steph won a title with Andrew Wiggins as his second-best player in the finals. Andrew Wiggins was the second-best Warrior in these finals.
Yeah, he was.
And credit to Andrew Wiggins for becoming that player, a two-way menace. He particularly broke Jason Tatum in the fourth quarters of these games. He just gave Tatum nothing. Steph is listed at 6'2". Is he the best small player in NBA history?
Well, you know, that argument, people used to make the argument for Iverson. Iverson never got there officially to me. Just a highly inefficient shooter. Just a volume shooter. Tough guy and all that stuff. Who's the other arguments? I guess, so the other argument would be Stockton, and is that the size you're talking about?
Yeah, well, I'm talking about, because usually the dominant.
Nash, Stockton, but that's, you know, people. Yeah, Zeke. Who are small ones? I mean, they used to make arguments. Calvin Murphy's in the Hall of Fame. Tiny Archibald. Because Chris is kind of thick. What if he's
height
got
wise?
Thickness?
I'm saying height wise.
If you're thick bone, does that count?
I mean, he's still a little guy for NBA.
Well, there is a difference between a slight player and a short player.
And Steph is put on. You just watched the retrospectives as the game was, you know, getting out of hand. They're showing Steph as a younger player. He's put on muscle, and the shoulders have gotten broader. But he's still 6'2", about 185. Yeah. That's his listed weight.
For slight players, Steph is easily the greatest slight player of all time.
Yeah,
I think he's better than Zeke.
And even at height wise, 6'2 and under, is there a better player in NBA history?
Yeah, I don't know. Probably not. All the lists that I see, all the lists that
are wings
make
and centers.
No, I think the next guy on the way up is Ja Morant when you talk about slightly built players and smallest players. Although, how big is Ja Morant? How tall is he?
I'll look it up. He's probably in that 6'3 range.
6'3? I think
6'3 under 180. Yeah, he weighs less than Steph does.
I mean, I'd put him in the slim category, the greatest slim player greatest thick player in history. That's Shaq.
Certainly, and that, yeah, late Shaq particularly.
Yeah, Shaq got really thick.
Yeah.
And then I guess you have Big Baby is 4.
No, he's not.
Charles Barkley 2.
Charles
Big Baby
Barkley
4.
Big Baby, the fourth best thickum.
So
in
what
NBA
about
history?
Karl Malone is the thick player, right?
He was yoked. I don't know if he was thick.
Okay, well. I mean, he was thick and yoked.
He was a strong, big.
So you're now just saying thick is kind of chubby, is what you're saying.
If you're gonna, that's what you meant when you inducted Chris Paul into the
conversation. So what do you mean when you call a girl slim thick?
I don't certainly don't go well. You know who slim thick? Chris Paul. You know I'm not saying that.
I know. He's just thick. All right. So we got So obviously these are the conversations we're going to have today. Dell talked about the pettiness of the Warriors. We got some sound to show you that. I want to comment on the next segment about what the Rockets, what's in for the Rockets. I did not get to talk about the Christian Wood deal, and we'll also get into World Cup. You got U.S. Open is underway, and Phil Mickelson may miss the cut. So much to get into. You guys are welcome to weigh in anytime you want. 713-780-3776. That's 713-780-3776. I'll tell you what I need right now is I need for my guys over at Jack's Grill to bring some food. I'd love for them to bring us some wings. All right. Short notice, and maybe they're just listening on the radio right now. But Dell and I would love to have some wings and maybe a spicy chicken sandwich where you spice the actual breading and not put the sauce on, because Dell's very particular about that. At Jack's Grill, they can do things the way you like it, but I'm just telling you now, they've got some of the best comfort food you're going to find. I mean, how about the tater tot? They've got the pan sheet with the tater tots, and they treat it like cheese fries, only it's tater tots, and it's loaded up. Oh, it's so good. You can do it with fries, too. I'm just giving you an example of what they're doing. When we go, I've got one son who gets the chicken quesadillas, another one who gets chicken strips. Snacks gets his 12 chicken wings, then can only finish about 10 of them. My daughter goes burger. There's something that, and I go chicken sandwich. I go spicy chicken sandwich. So there's something for everyone over there. If you want to eat lighter, they've got salads for you. They got great burgers. The backyard burgers, fantastic. A variety of different burgers, including the turkey burger, which is really delicious as well. A little more heart healthy for you. All of the different items that are on the menu, or you can go look at jacksgrillhouston.com and see for yourself. There's three locations in Houston, but I'm telling you right now, makes a great lunch spot as well. So why don't you stop in today? They always have TVs on over the weekend if you want to watch games, or in the evening after Little League practices. You can check out the games. You can have your beers or your Jack's Ritas, and you're going to have some really enjoyable comfort food as well. My friends over at Jack's Grill.
ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 16 teams, it was announced by FIFA, are going to be host cities for the 2026 World Cup in North America. That would include Vancouver, Seattle, San Francisco, Los Angeles. There's your West Coast contingency. You've got Guadalajara. You've got, I said North American, not American. Kansas City, Dallas, Atlanta, Houston, Monterrey, Mexico City, Toronto, Boston, Philadelphia, Miami, New York, New Jersey. So those are going to be your host cities. Houston, I know there was a high confidence level by Glenn Davis. And shout out to Glenn Davis, our old producer, Aaron Raybould, who came right after Dell. He had a tweet that I think really summed it up pretty well. Glenn Davis has been and Dell, I know you're a soccer fan. Glenn Davis has been at the forefront in Houston and really national soccer. I mean, Glenn is a national soccer figure who happens to live here locally and do local shows. But Glenn has been, I love Glenn Davis, and Glenn has really banged the drum for soccer growth in the city, the growth of the MLS, the growth of soccer in the United States. He does everything he possibly can to involve and improve the soccer's perception of the city of Houston. And he was very certain that the diversity of the city of Houston was going to be a big factor in getting the not to mention infrastructure was going to be a big deal in getting the U.S. in getting Houston games and World Cup. For those who don't realize this, like, I can just tell you this: I went and watched. Oh man, who did they play in the last World Cup? It was France. Mbappe versus who did France play in the last World Cup?
In the final, Croatia.
It's Croatia, yeah. France, Croatia. I wanted to go watch it. Watching a World Cup match, especially, you know, a final or semifinal with a big group of people, is a lot of fun. So I went down to try to get into Brian Ching's place, and it was a line out the door with an hour to go before the match. And we ended up going to Lucky's, which now is closed, but we ended up going to Lucky's and watching it at Lucky's, and that place was packed. And I'm telling you now, the bars downtown are going to be in the, or in, especially around the you know, the Astrodome, not the Astrodome, not necessarily NRG, but all around like that, around the Toyota Center and, you know, that whole area. Those bars, all those bars over there in Edo are going to be packed. And there are going to be some people. I don't know that you buy property right now, but you might need to, because somebody is going to really make out with even just for that summer, if they can figure out a way to really turn it into your own, you know, the watch party for the World Cup. Now, that's not a sustainable business to do 1 month of business. But the amount of people who are going to be in Houston, the amount of people spending money, it's a really, really big deal. It's a huge injection. And if there is a very respectful family who doesn't want, and I don't need hoes trying to contact me, but I'm willing to, or any, I don't need hooligans also, I am willing to rent out my house for a substantial amount of money when y'all come in town. Hit me up. I want people who are pretty much no smokers. I don't want you to be drinkers. I want you to just be very respectable fans who wear your little scarves or whatever. And you don't do anything, and you just no vuvuzelas, none of that stuff.
Why do you care for vuvuzela?
I just don't, I want them to be, their personalities to be kind of dour and
dour
and complacent. And I just want them to like stand there and be the ones who
have you met
crosshairs. Like you, I'd like a family of Dells.
Have you
like you?
Have you met international soccer fans?
I don't think
fans?
You would tear up a house.
No, like, I wouldn't. But yeah. But I would not. I wouldn't rent the house from you just to watch a team play.
I've got a patio with a TV.
Have
out
you
there.
Met? International soccer fans?
Yeah, you not great. I don't want any flares shot off in my house.
Are you going to limit the countries, or at least the people 100%. From those countries? Like,
I
you
am going to
no Russians?
No, Russians are out.
English?
No way.
So who are you going to allow?
I would imagine
which countries?
People from Belgium,
the
maybe
Netherlands,
the Dutch.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the
that.
Dutch could stay. Maybe my people, the Germans. I could just say
very totalitarian.
They'll see my last name and they'll say okay. He's one of us. Let's not tear his stuff
one
up.
One of us.
One of us. I'm going to profile who's going to stay in my house.
By the like, name?
How old are you? Let me see your social media pages. I don't want people shooting off champagne in my house just because they make it out of the round.
Well, they're probably going to be at the game.
That's another thing. I can't. Yeah, but I don't need them coming back to my house. I don't need anyone who's going to be happy just getting out of the round.
Huh.
And celebrate getting out of the round. I want
so
somebody who's been there before.
So you're not going to rent out to Americans then?
No. For sure I'm not going to. I need somebody who's been there before and who, no, Americans will, maybe. Yeah, I've seen too many people tear up Airbnbs on videos. Nope. You're out.
So you're looking for a European power person. And maybe.
Possibly.
What about the Brazilians?
No
they're
way.
Not going to. They're not going to be. They're going to be just excited
well,
about getting
been
out
there,
of.
Yeah, been there, done that.
Argentinians.
Well, okay, a Brazilian businessman could stay.
Okay,
you an Argentinian business. Yeah, Argentinians feel. I feel like. Yeah, I got to keep it like over 38 for the Argentinians. I don't want it to get too loose in there either.
Maybe you can rent it out to a broadcaster.
Yeah, it'd be great. Yep.
Like an international broadcast team. So instead of getting a hotel, they just decide, hey, we're going to rent out our nice home.
Well, that's the dream come true.
Mm-hmm.
Like, renting it out to me. Like, if I was traveling.
Okay.
You know, Andres, but not with my kids.
You know the famous Andres Cantor?
Yeah.
He has a son who's also in the game itself, Nico Cantor.
Does he play or just yell
he's
all the time
media,
when people score?
He's a media guy.
Yeah.
Like his father. So maybe the Fox soccer team, soccer crew at some point, you want Taylor Twellman in your home?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll tear anything up.
Probably not. He spent time
broadcast
here.
Broadcast teams, they're kind of lame on the road. Broadcast teams aren't going to tear anything. They just want to get some sleep. They'll go out, have a drink. They'll expense it. But they're not trying to get torn up. I mean, I don't want a Granato. I would never have a Granato.
Would you rent out
crew.
To the Italians?
No.
No?
No. I don't need foursomes in my room.
Foursomes?
I don't need any of that stuff going on.
That's how you profile the Italians?
Yeah.
Foursomes.
They do dirty stuff. I don't need that dirty stuff in my house.
Mm.
I want just respectable people who are looking to go to sleep early and leave my stuff alone. Pay me top dollar.
I would have said the Canadians, but all their games are going to be in Canada, so you won't have them unless it's a knockout round game or something, so you won't be written out to them. They would be the perfect ones if the Canadians were going to play games down here.
Depends on what part of Canada.
What about
LeShane's already... Like, I don't want people from Manitoba. Yeah, I don't need them from the rough
Toronto.
Part of Canada. Yeah, Toronto's okay.
Vancouver.
Yeah, they're okay.
Big Nobody city. From Saskatchewan.
Big
city.
No, I don't want rough Canada.
No.
They can't be
Calgary
part of it.
Calgary beat it.
They can't be part of it. Let's get John in here for a second. He wants to talk about U.S. Open. We'll get to a break. What's up, John?
Just two quick things. One about soccer, one about golf. I find it funny, after the round one, you got the LIV players, Shambo, the high-lodged guys, the big name. Well, Shambo's on the plus side. Mickelson's at plus +8. Good for him. And Rory, the guy that's speaking on behalf of the PGA Tour for the most part, he's at -3 at second place. And I just found that kind of funny. We'll see what happens the weekend. But after round one, I find it enjoyable. But as far as soccer goes, you know, with an event like this, all the millions and millions of people coming to town, there'll be an influx of out-of-town pros and tricks to come as well. So that we got that to look forward to.
Hoes and tricks is what he said.
The hoes and tricks, I would think they would come for
he
that.
He said they will come.
They will, don't you think?
Yeah.
They come for Super Bowl. They come for
All-Star
NBA
games.
All-Star games. They come for probably all All-Star games. Well,
not
football's
hockey.
Not going to have one. Probably not hockey. Actually, it's well known for, it's a brothel fest.
Yes.
It's not in this country, of course. We would never do that.
Not allowed.
But in other countries, it has turned into it. Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I don't want hoes and tricks in my, I don't want tricking going on in my neighborhood.
I mean.
The homeowner association looks down on that. I'll end up on next door. Somebody's going to be, there's some hoes and tricks at this house. And
there's some hoes in this house. That's the song that will play for you.
There's some tricks in this house. There's some hoes in this house.
What if it's the best price?
What
if they're willing to pay more than others? Like, you're all about.
I can't. Like I said, next door will seek me out and shame me.
Well,
I can't have next door all up on my stuff. No, Dell. Look at the U.S. Open. Here's the leaderboard. Tell me, is this a U.S. Open leaderboard or characters from the book of Game of Thrones?
Oh, MJ, did you see?
Dafoe,
did you see that?
Hadwin. I'm just going to read their last names. Dafoe, Hadwin, Tedden, Lingmerth, McElroy, Dahman, Buckley, Nesmith, Harmon.
Well, if you read them like
Wise,
that.
Wise, Johnson. Fitzpatrick?
Johnson?
Rose?
No,
well,
okay, not
Johnson.
Johnson.
But look at the top five. Who are these guys? John's not here, so I wouldn't know. Dafoe, Hadwin, Taryn.
They sound like first names in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, Lingmerth. And then you get to McElroy.
And
we know who that is.
What about the fact that, it's not a fact just yet. HBO hasn't commented on it, that there's going to be a Jon Snow sequel series in development. That Kit Harington's coming back to play Jon Snow.
Well, what's the other one where they're spinning off the not the Mad King, but right? Aren't they spinning off
Dance of Dragons?
The Targaryens?
Well, that one's a prequel.
Yeah, but when does that happen?
August. Comes out in August. The first.
Are we looking forward to that?
I want to see it. Well,
I mean, it's supposed to be good. HBO's doing it, right?
Yeah, I don't care about prequels as much, really, because if you kind of know what it's leads to, but a Jon Snow sequel after he goes back?
Oh, no, I would watch that.
Yeah, so.
I'll probably watch either one of them.
I'm going to watch them anyway.
I'll watch either one of
them.
Yeah. All right, when we get back, we will. I know our basketball guy, Biscuit, is on hold, and then we have to get to. I want to talk about the trade. I did not get to talk about Christian Wood trade. And also, got some comments on the Celtics. Jason Tatum. Ooh. Be careful with opportunities to expand your legacy because they can go the other way on you. Right now, I'll tell you something else that can go the other way on you. Underdog Fantasy. You know what? If you don't know what you're doing, if you get in there half-cocked in Underdog Fantasy and you're going into Best Ball Mania 3 where you draft your team and then your team stays the same all year long, well, you could be screwed. That's why you got to get it. You know, it benefits those of us who keep up with fantasy football. Who's got the injury history? Who is injured now? Who actually came back and is being slept on? You're drafting an entire team, and you don't start. You don't have to do any starts. You don't have drops and pickups, roster management. Basically, you draft your team, and then whoever scores the most at quarterback, at running back, at wide receiver, tight end, those top scorers are your top scores for the week. And so you never have the pressure of starting the right lineup. Whatever the high score speaks for you. And then you aggregate it over the course of the year, and whoever wins is going to get, and they pay out a wide variety of entrants. But I'm watching a commercial on it right now. There's going to be $10 million for Best Ball Mania 3 this year. That's in the prize pot. $10 million in the prize pot. Go get your piece of that pie. You can sign up, use promo code radio, and they're going to give you, they'll match up to $100 for your entry. So even if you enter just, you know, you put $100 on your first deposit, you put radio, they're going to match $100. There's four free entries into Best Ball Mania 3. It costs just $25, but for you, that's four free entries. Don't miss out on a chance to show off your fantasy football skill and make that paper at underdogfantasy.com, promo code radio.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
So last night, the Golden State Warriors won a championship 4-2. I had the Celtics winning. I thought the athleticism would be too much, and I thought I was going to be right halfway into game two. And then it was really just a case of Boston was certainly physically able to match up. That was not a problem. It was mentally. They were not mentally tough enough. They just really had poise issues. And Jason Tatum, there was some talk about on the radio that I heard, is Jason Tatum a superstar? And to me, you know, it created a conversation. I think superstar means, you know, you had to have done something to be a superstar. You have to really, truly stand out. You stand out on your own team as a guy who can take the reins and will people forward. I mean, James Harden is definitely a superstar. Whatever you say about Elimination James, this guy's he's an MVP. He is a multi-time.
Is he still a superstar?
Not, I think he still gets superstar. You get, even when you're on the downside, you get superstar status. That means you play like it. I think once you're a superstar, you're always a superstar. Now you're just on the downside. Once you reach that level, it's a career achievement. Jason Tatum, you know, all the attention that he got for being the next guy, Eastern Conference Finals, he averaged 25 a game. Against the Heat, he averaged 25 a game. He shot 47% from the field. 22% from three. Against the Bucks, he averaged 27.6, 42% from the field, 35% from three, which was nice. And then, you know, they, that was good. He gets to the finals against Boston Celtics. He averages against the Golden State Warriors, averages 21.5 points a game, shoots 36.2% from the field. And then from three, you know, three was pretty good, 41.8%. But look at that, 41.8% from the field, 36% from three, I should say, 36% from the field. He averaged 3.8 turnovers a game, including over the last three games against the Boston Celtics. He averaged, let's see, over the last three games, which were all L's against Golden State Warriors, 6 turnovers, 4 turnovers, 5 turnovers. 23, 27, 13 points yesterday. He was terrible yesterday. And I bring this up because we saw it with James Harden. You get to maintain a certain standard of perception that people have of you. And then the expectations rise for you. Jason Tatum fell far short of that. And now he has to deal with, and for the entire offseason, is now he's that guy. He's gone from up-and-coming potential superstar to guy who crapped his pants in the fourth quarter, really the entire game, but especially the second half. He had like 11 at the half, something like that. He had 11 at the half, and he had 2 in the second half.
Jason Tatum set the record for most turnovers in the postseason with 100. And it's also hard for me.
By the way, tons of turnovers. Celtics with what?
22. That's what they are. That's
atrocious.
They've been that way really from the conference finals throughout the finals as well. Just they turn the ball over, they're going to lose. And they did that a lot last night. They found their peak of turnovers when they got to 22. It's very hard for me to give Jason Tatum superstar status when in three of the four series he played, he wasn't the best player in the series. Now, I know they won. against the Bucks, but Giannis was better than him in that series. Jimmy was, even Jimmy having the 2.5 games of misery because the knee flared up on him, Jimmy was better than him in that series, and we know Steph was. Hell, Andrew Wiggins was better than him in this series. So superstar status is kind of not a finite thing. You only kind of know what their superstar, you know it when you see it, and what Jason Tatum proved, particularly in these finals, is there's still a ways to go. He went from the guy who saved the Celtics in game 6 in Milwaukee to, you know, winning finals, Eastern Conference Finals MVP, because he was on the winning team, despite some fourth quarter disappearing acts, to a guy now people are going to, oh, you're next in line for a guy who has to prove himself before we cement you in at a certain level. People are calling him top 5 Tatum. That was something that was building in the Boston media. And he was first team all NBA. He certainly had a great year, but the playoffs are your proving ground. And he got clamped by Andrew Wiggins in fourth quarters in games that mattered. So now you got to rebuild that reputation.
Yeah,
and that,
you got to rebuild your
only,
game.
And it starts back in the playoffs.
By the way, you got to change your game. There's going to have to be alterations. Like you said, the great players, you know, Jordan added things to his game. Dream added things. Kobe added elements to his game. LeBron added elements to his game. I mean, Jason Tatum, and I know those are some of the all-time greats, but if you want to truly be a great player, you have to add elements to your game. And the next part of his game needs to be, I think, you know, I do think a post-up, not because you're going to be posting up much, but it's a cheap way to get to a mid-range shot. He's tall. He's long. He can shoot over people. And, yeah, you need to develop your mid-range game. There's no question. But if he's not comfortable taking you off the bounce and going 1-2 dribble, stop, elevate, and shoot over you, then one of the easiest ways is to get down in the post and just use your size to get up over someone. And when I say post, it could be a mid-post. Like, it doesn't have to be down deep in the block. But he's got to find different ways to get his points because he can physically overtake guys when he's in the paint. I mean, we've seen it happen, but he's going to have to readjust. And James Harden got a long, long runway with us as Rockets fans. You know, you kind of make excuses, and then you say, well, he elimination James, but look at this. I mean, he finished second in MVP voting, third in MVP voting. And at some point now, with Brooklyn and now the Sixers, now this is what he's going to have to wear really for the rest of his career unless he finds a ring somewhere, is that's who James Harden became. So Tatum still has a ways to go, but I'm just saying, be careful what you wish for, because no matter how great the regular season stuff is, I mean, to this day, Bagwell and Biggio have some of that on them baseball-wise, and we're talking about a couple Hall of Famers. But Astros fans still remember that these guys really couldn't do anything in a postseason. That's what you get remembered for. And Robert Horry was just blah for much of his career in the regular season. But when the postgame came around, Big Shot Bob was just, you know, that's what he's known as, the guy who wins titles because the nuts get huge on him in big situations. And Jason Tatum, it's not about making one shot or two shots. You got to play better. So I just think that's an interesting thing to keep an eye on.
Yeah, he's 24 years old, and that will be what, if you're a Celtics fan or Tatum fan, that you will lean on and say, look, he's 24 in his short time in the league. He's been to now, what, 3 conference finals and now an NBA finals. And you'll start to point to all the NBA greats who hadn't won a title. I mean, I think Dwayne Wade, if all the greats won his title at 24, I mean, we know Magic won it really young as well, but in the modern era, Dwayne Wade won in 2006 to 24, so that's what people point to and say, hey, Jason Tatum's still young. When did Mike win his? When did LeBron win his? I just think if you're a Celtics fan or anyone who watched this series, you're going to go, what's Tatum got in fourth quarters of big games, particularly in tight games late when they matter, because he just either disappeared or simply didn't make shots. Last night was the worst of it because the guy was almost non-existent on the floor when the Celtics were trying to make their comeback. So it's one finals experience. If you are rooting for the Celtics, I'm not sure why you would, unless you're a Boston fan, you're going to hope that, hey, it's one of many. But if you are a cynic, you could also say, hey, we said that about the Thunder. And they never got back. It's nothing's guaranteed.
Nah, Steph even said that in his post. He said, you just never know when it's your last try it's nothing's guaranteed in this. And he was very emotional after this. Let's get Biscuit in here before we get to a break. What's up, Biscuit? How we doing?
Hey, top of the morning to you, fellas. I agree with everything you guys said about Tatum. And to me, Lance, It's not so much the basketball, and I agree with you. He need to get the elbow, he need to get off the ball, because that was the problem, his ball handling. But it's the lack of fire, the sense of urgency. This is an elimination game, man, and he was going through the motions. You know, and so that's the issue he got to get over. And that was some of the same stuff with Harden. It's like, and you know, this is it, man. It's on the line. And it seemed like they just treated it like a normal game. But the reason I called on Lance the other day, we talked about Steph coming up the list. And
yeah, I remember.
I think you guys kind of misconstrued where I was coming from. I was saying pump your brakes on Steph passing up Larry Bird, not so much getting into the top 10.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm calling to give you my top 10. And to me, it's a lot of variables to go into it. And one of the things is longevity, excellence, accomplishments, stats. And then you said it just now, being able to carry a team. And that, to me, was what Steph was lacking, being able to carry a team. And there's no doubt in this finals, he carried a team. The other finals, they just had the best team. But this time, he carried them. So my list goes Kareem, Jordan, Magic, LeBron, Wilt, Kobe, Bird, Russell, and then this is where my list kind of changed from other people's. Dr. J, because I'm from Indiana, I've seen his age. I'm talking about Big Fro J from the ABA days, and then I got, this is where Steph comes in. I think Steph can jump over, I hate to say the Houston fans, I think he can jump over Olajuwon. I think he can jump over Shaq.
So you think he jumped over Olajuwon already?
What'd you say now?
You think he already jumped over Olajuwon? Because you didn't have
Olajuwon. I think he already jumped over.
Okay.
Yeah. I think last night he jumped over Olajuwon. Because he got more rings.
Bro, do you know where you are, Olajuwon. Biscuit, do you know where you are? You're in Houston. You're coming with Indiana. You're hitting us with Larry Bird and Indiana, Dr. J. You're hitting us with ABA, Dr. J. And you're leaving Dream out of the top 10 and putting Steph over Dream? You know where you live?
I had to do it. I put him over Duncan, Dream, Shaq. And I think he was behind before this year. I think he was behind KD. But, you know, after last night. And the thing about Steph is it's not over. So if he do it again, now we're talking about catching Larry Bird and Bill Russell and some of those guys. But I hate to say it, Houston fans, I think Steph he went by Olajuwon last night.
I appreciate the call.
And you notice not one small player in terms of NBA rep. Steph was the only one he mentioned that was
all
in
these
that,
guys,
in that
all these
small
guys are 6'5",
wings or wings or set or big men. So I think the conversation now for Stephen Curry, look, the top 10 stuff, everyone has their list. I don't know if there's a better guy under 6'3 than Steph all time now.
You're right. I mean, just going through the list earlier, it's really limited. It's really limited on who you want to go to. And RJ brought up Chris Paul. I mean, Chris Paul, for as great as Chris Paul's been in his career, he can't. You
doesn't
can't
have the accolades.
Steph. I mean, it's not. I mean, Steph is literally gets over humps. Chris Paul gets, you know, speed bumps take him out. That's just the truth.
The Mavericks took him out.
I mean, that's just, you know, it's just the truth that he can't get over. He can't get over that hump for whatever reason. And Steph Curry's gotten over the hump. So, yeah, he deserves to be there. Andrew Perloff is going to join us at 8:15. We want to talk a little bit of football stuff with Perloff. And then we'll also visit with Jerome Solomon at 9 o'clock today. Coming up next, I will officially tell you my thoughts on the Christian Wood trade, because I did not get to talk about it, but I'm excited about doing it. And how petty are the Warriors? Well, they kept a lot of receipts. We'll have some of the sound coming up in 1 second. Right now, time for me to tell you about QC Kinetics. I can tell you this, when you have your issues with your hip, your shoulder, your back, your knee, you have that chronic pain. If I'm talking to you and you hear me mention that and you say, wait a minute, that's me. I have those issues. Well, I can tell you right now that there is a solution for you. Yes, a solution, and that is QC Kinetics. And I'm telling you right now, QC Kinetics is, you know, don't go to the old ways. The old ways is getting a shot and that will that shot is going to reduce inflammation. It'll give you a temporary fix, and then you're back to where you were before, and it comes back. That's what happens. Surgery. You're going to have surgery? Because surgery sometimes can really, you know, when you get this replacement or that replacement, well, you're done doing some of the things that you really love to do. What if I told you there's all-natural biological therapies from the professionals at QC Kinetics that regenerate and restore damaged tissue? That's absolutely happening right now. It's an all-natural alternative that can give you lasting relief using your body's own healing power. They take the properties, growth properties in your body, they highly concentrate it, put it back into those aching joints, and it starts to rebuild and regrow the tissue that has been damaged. And when you have that regenerative process, that's amazing because you get back to feeling like yourself. You start to really reduce the pain. I just got a direct message from somebody who said he used it for his labrum tear, and it went from an 8 on pain to a 5 on pain after one. The guy was so excited. He's going to go back for more. You can have the same thing happen for you. Professional athletes use it. It's now available to you as well, and it's available right here in Houston. 713-913-5285 is their phone number. 713-913-5285. That's QC Kinetics.
Get know when the whistle goes.
Real fun. Sports. ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
It's Lance and Dell today. And so while I was out yesterday, I had a voice issue. It's coming back okay today. May sound a little off, but we'll get through it. I was off, and the night before on Wednesday night, Christian Wood was traded. And my kids were pissed because they saw what came back. And they were like, Mason runs outside, Snacks immediately starts throwing things around. It's like, this is the worst trade in NBA history. He's like, he's really over the top on everything. He's throwing stuff around yesterday because the Celtics were getting beat. I'm like, you're not a Celtics fan. What are you so pissed off about? When did you become Mr. Celtics? Anyway, look, the trade is not about the players they got. They got Boban, Sterling Brown, not the guy from This Is Us. They got Boban, Sterling Brown. They got Marquise Chris, and they got who else? Who's the fourth player?
Don't even know.
Boban, Marquise, Trey Burke. Yeah, who my kids confirmed for me. He's like, he's been trash since after year one. Like, okay,
thanks.
I'll just trust on this. The bottom line was the Rockets threw the players all together just to make the trade work financially. They got the pick. They traded Christian Wood for the pick. Speaking of sources there in the building, they could not get. They tried to trade him at the deadline last year or this year. There was nothing. Nobody wanted him. He's got a reputation problem. That's the bottom line. He's played on four other teams, and four other teams said, "Ooh, this guy's highly immature," and they didn't like him. And that word spreads around the league. GMs and personnel people talk to their friends on other teams, and so the word spread. People didn't want Christian Wood. I don't think anyone would look. Christian Wood is a weak defensive player in the post as a five. The Rockets thought he was just a five. They don't think he works as a four, and they collect all the analytics and data on it. He is more of a five than a four for what they do offensively. He is not somebody who loved running pick and roll for whatever reason. He's going to have to do it with the Boston Celtics. But he's a guy that you're not going to be able to get your proper value based on the output, the data that he puts together, the production, because he's got a reputation around the league. And so when the Rockets saw a chance to get a first-round pick, they jumped at it. They wanted to subtract him. Now, you also have enough time now to potentially package. If you do that deal closer to the trade deadline, you don't have enough time to try to turn around and package 26. Sure, the Rockets might draft somebody at 26, but I think they're going to try really hard to trade 26. Maybe it's packaging 26 and 17, but then you'd have to have a team that wants two draft picks. So, you know, in the first round. Maybe you move up to 12. Maybe you move up to 11 for a team who says, okay, we're happy trying to fill in two spots on our roster. We like this draft enough that we think there are players there. A, I have no problem getting rid of Christian Wood. Christian Wood was a guy who didn't want to – look, you should know my opinion by now. I studied team building and have for a long time. This is what I look into every year for the NFL draft. This is how I look at NBA teams, baseball. I like to study how successful teams have been built and then how teams are building. And the one thing I get back to is there is – it may sound cliched, but culture is a thing. It's a real thing. Accountability, culture, and finding the right guys who are your leaders in locker rooms. And I think with Christian Wood, his inability and unwillingness – and same thing goes with KPJ, with Kevin Porter Jr. Their unwillingness to check into games unhappy in locker rooms when they're told certain things, not coachable. I think KPJ is still potentially a big problem in a locker room. I get that the Rockets love him, but I'm just very concerned because I don't think that's the kind of attitude that you need in a locker room. If you don't have a guy that's not coachable, that's no good, and I think it sets a bad standard for some of the other guys. Christian Wood was not only not coachable, he was late to practices. There was a lot of stuff that really bothered, I think, Steven Silas, and so he's gone, and I'm cool with that because you got to try to build – like you're trying to build from the ground floor up. You had the worst record in basketball. So if you're building from the ground floor up, you know you got guys like Jayshon Tate, Kevin Porter Jr., Shingun, Jalen Green. That's your – and then the number three pick. That's what your – that's what your core is right now. Those guys are members of your core. You see from watching the series yesterday, or the NBA Finals, you're a long way from being where you want to be. Let's say Banchero is the pick. How quickly, Dell, do you think that the Houston Rockets can begin to challenge for a play-in spot? I'm just saying top 10, a play-in spot.
Think about the West, where it is right now. You have, even if you remove like the top five or so that are clear, there's no question about them. I would include Denver in that mix because they're going to get healthy again, and they'll be fine. Then you think about Minnesota. You think about, and the Clippers should knock another team down because if they're healthy, they're going to be at a minimum top five. So how many spots are really open for in the West currently to get in that, even the top 10? New Orleans you're fighting with, I guess. You know Portland's going to try to put a team around Dame. So I think the West is probably a solid eight deep, and then there's maybe two spots you're fighting for against the likes of New Orleans and maybe Portland and San Antonio, because San Antonio wasn't that far off this year. So, is Jalen Green going to be good enough in year two? Probably not. You're adding more talent with Banchero, if that's the pick. Although I've seen that OKC is locked in on Chet Holmgren, so it feels like Banchero will be the guy. We'll see in less than a week now. I would give that, if they don't make a major acquisition for a legitimate all-star, you're probably like a CJ McCollum type, maybe not even an all-star, but a CJ McCollum type that you add to the roster, a guy who knows how to play, who's played in the playoffs.
I would love that.
Yeah.
But I don't know who that guy is going to be.
If it's just this youthful core, I would say 2 years, which means you're now in that five-year range of not being competitive, which is a long time considering what this city's used to.
There was a rumor about the Rockets, you know, potentially having a number three pick for sale for a particular, I don't know who it would be, but a particular superstar on a different team that they wanted to deal that. I think that's still on the table. I don't know that that's going to go down. That's one thing to keep your eye on. The Rockets could use the third pick as a catalyst for making a deal to potentially get another star player in. I think it's unlikely. But that's the one thing to keep your eye on. If not, you know, I don't know.
In my calculus, by the way, I didn't even mention the Lakers when I was talking about teams who certainly aren't going to be fine with not even making the play-in. So, and like LeBron, how many years he has left? Anthony Davis, can he stay healthy? I think the Rockets, if they don't acquire a player like you're suggesting, it's going to be a bit. It's going to be a long while.
I don't see sustainable success. I see flashes. That's like what the Phoenix Suns had before they had Chris Paul. They had flashes. But, yeah, I get Jalen Green. You know, he has all the talent in the world, great score and all that stuff. Şengün is going to keep getting better. He's a young player. I'm excited about all that. I do think there's a glue guy or a piece of the puzzle that's needed, and it's going to have to be a veteran, but not just a P.J. Tucker type, but a guy who can, like, who can hit 16 a game.
Well, if they're locked into their backcourt, which you understand why with Jalen Green, I'm with you with the Kevin Porter Jr. thing. I'm not sure about that, despite how much they like him. He was one of those players who decided he didn't want to play in a game, and he got suspended for it, I believe. If you could find a wing, like a two-way wing, I don't know if it's 16 points a game, but if it's a legitimate wing who will play defense and give you 18 to 20 a game, that increases or shortens the timeline as far as a competitive basketball team. Those guys are hard to find, but if one comes available, because I say wing because they appear to like their backcourt, so that would be what I would be looking for, because you might love Tate, but there's not a legitimate star wing currently on the roster.
Yeah.
If you could find one, that would change the dynamic, and those are hard to find.
Hey, you know, just out of curiosity, you don't think Chris Middleton would be available, right? Obviously, I'm taking the third pick.
Understood.
Jae'Sean Tate, third pick, for example. It would take more than that, but
the Bucks have cheaped out, and people are upset with them. They didn't want to bring back P.J. Tucker. They went the cheap route. They've tried coming off a championship run, having Giannis locked up. They decided to go cheap, and it hurt them in the playoffs. I don't imagine you could sell Giannis. Yeah, I know we just signed you to this big extension, but we're going to get rid of your number two.
Yeah, I think Chris Middleton's a good player, not a great player. I'm just throwing that out there. I'm just trying to think of a wing
type of level of player.
But I don't know that they, like, I think they would rather have a two guard than have, which you're not going to find, rather than having, like, Banchero. Is Banchero too similar to Giannis? And then Chet Holmgren is a different type of guy. Like, he's one of those kind of guys who gives you, who is not, you're not going to have the same, like, man, I'm just kind of going through some hypotheticals. If that was, I'm just throwing a name out there of a player.
Yeah, a player that at that level, if you can find an all-star caliber player for this roster, if you don't, you're dealing the number three plus whatever to get it done. That changes what the Rockets are. But if we're sticking with, we're doing it with youth, I mean, this is a 4 to 5 year deal.
What about the third pick, a future one, and a group of players for Dame? Would they ever do that?
I don't think Portland would survive it.
I don't either.
No,
the fan base would go bananas.
No,
not enough. Frankly, you're going to have to. I mean, the third pick is just not enough. Because if you take the third pick and turn it into a person, let's say it's Banchero, would they ever trade Banchero for KPJ, Jae'Sean Tate? Like, you can't get to a team that's talented enough.
And future picks become less valuable because now the Rockets have Dame.
What about Şengün as a tradable?
You'd have to.
I don't think they would.
Yeah,
limits.
I think that's out.
I think
of the
he's
question.
Off limits.
Unless there's like a mid twenty, like Dame's in his 30s, like a 26-year-old star came available, then Şengün can leave the city. But Dame probably not.
Yeah, the Rockets are going to need another piece that's not on there, and they're probably not drafting. They're going to need a veteran piece. It'll be interesting. But as far as I'm concerned, glad Christian Wood is gone. I have no problems with it at all. 8:03 here on the bench. We are running way late. My friend Andrew Perloff is going to join us here in just a second. Gulf Coast Chevy is my friend Craig DeSurf, and he's been a friend of mine for about 15 years now. I really love the products. I love the fact that they have great leases going on as well. You've got leases for as low as $199 a month right now on the Buick Encore GX. I mean, $199 a month for 24 months for buyers. You have to see complete details. You know, see dealer for complete details or ask about the details. But that's a great opportunity to get into a starter car. Maybe you got a kid going off to college. Maybe you want to downsize from a larger SUV or midsize SUV to a five-seater and take on $199 a month in payments instead of what you've been paying. That could be something that makes sense for you. But that's what I'm talking about at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC in Angleton. They will work with you to find what fits your lifestyle, whether it's the type of vehicle, the type of payments, purchase, lease. And don't forget, trade-in value has never been higher for vehicles than right now. So take advantage of it right now while you can get big trade-in values that are going to help you from a price point standpoint. Go online at LanceZCars.com and you can start the process of getting your car priced, your trade-in car priced, and finding the vehicle that's right for you. Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick, GMC. Go to LanceZCars.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.